Steve, come on up.
Cheers. Whoa, that was great, wasn't it? Isn't it good to be in a meeting where you don't want the host to stop the worship? Sorry, Steve, but we're going to get back to that, but isn't it great? I was just thinking as we were worshiping, I mean, it's great to worship in our family churches, our local churches, on a Sunday morning. It's wonderful. But there's something just about tonight that is, special. When the people of God come together and just worship together. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. In the book of Deuteronomy, the people of God, Israel, are about to step into their new thing. So they've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. And Moses gathers them together. They're in sight of the promised land. But Moses knows that God's told him he's not going to lead them over. He's going to hand over leadership to Joshua. So Moses gathers the people together to give them the final talk, if you like. And he lays out all the laws and whatever. But he starts, if you read it, by giving them a history lesson. Okay? He recounts their history of the last 40 years, all their wanderings through the desert, all the great things that God has done, as we were just singing about, but all the rubbish as well. All the time when he'd had to stand in between them and an angry God because of all the stuff that happened. But Moses, before the people of God are about to step into the promised land, the new thing, he says to them, let's look back. This is where we've come from. These are the great things that God has done. Now, I'm no Moses, okay? But a few months ago when some of us, leaders of the Christ Central Church in Yorkshire and elders, we were together and we were talking about what we wanted to do tonight, it was deemed to be a good idea for us to look back about, you know, the history, young as it is, of Christ Central Churches in Yorkshire. And given that I was the oldest guy in the room, okay, I was tasked with the job, okay? So I want to just do this very quickly, but I want to, you know, as we look to the future, what God has for us, it's good to look back and see the great things that God has done. Now, God has done great things. For me, the Christ Central Yorkshire thing, although it wasn't called that, started in 1998. At prayer and fasting at the Stoneleigh Agricultural Centre. Jeremy would have been there, and Anne probably. I don't know if anybody else was there. And I was sat in a meeting somewhere near the back, wondering about when I would actually get something to eat. Some of us used to fast in those days, Jeremy. and a guy called Andy Merrick came up to the mic at the front, and he just stood there and he just shouted one word into the microphone. And that word was York. Do I hear a cheer? Hey, York, he said. And he didn't say anything else. He went on subsequently to say, but I didn't hear what he said about a new church starting in York and the need for leaders. But all I know is at that moment, something went off in me, went off in my heart. And it was a call from God to move north and to be involved in new frontiers in the north, which eventually would become Christ Central Churches. So we moved up the following year in 1999 with a prophetic word over us that myself and Ruth, not just ourselves, but the group of churches, it wasn't just about one city, but it was about the cities of the north and the towns and the villages of the north. And that was the prophetic word that we moved with. Now, at that time, New Frontiers in the north was a bit sparse on the ground, to say the least. So there was a church in Newcastle where Andy Merrick was with Ian Galloway and others. There was a church in Durham. There was a church at Rickleton Chapel. Remember that one? In Washington, which is somewhere in between Newcastle and Sunderland. There was a church in Darlington. And then I think the same year, Jeremy and Anne moved up from the deep south up to, he beat us by 7 weeks, but up to Teesside, brought two churches together to form Jubilee Church in Teesside. We met some people in Selby, and a church there joined us, and through them, we met a guy called John Wilson from Acom Christian Fellowship in York, which subsequently joined New Frontiers and became Gateway Church York. Do I hear a cheer? And we were the sort of like northeast region of New Frontiers. Now, in those days, every other Thursday, I think it was at some times, a bunch of us would pile into cars and travel up from the deep Yorkshire, the deep south as it was, up to Newcastle for our regional prayer meetings. Usually Newcastle, sometimes further south in Durham. And we would dream of being able to just do that in Yorkshire. That was our hope, that one day, I tell you, in the early days, it was a far-off hope, a dream that we would have sufficient impetus and churches in Yorkshire to be able to gather under the New Frontiers banner, as it was then, in Yorkshire, as Yorkshire churches. Something like this was a far-off hope. Now, you know, I don't know how many of us are here tonight, 100 or so, whatever, but we represent many hundreds in our churches. Look what God has done. Look what God has done over, the last 20 years. But we used to dream of things like this. I'm going to skip through a lot of this. In 2001, not long after we moved up, we all attended the last ever Stoneleigh Bible Week. And 3 years later, we started something called the North Camp. It was under the radar because we weren't sure whether we were allowed to do it. So we didn't advertise it very much. Although we talked to our friend Dave Holden down south and said, Dave, don't tell anybody, but will you come camping with us for a weekend? And Dave asked us what we wanted him to do. We said, just bring what you were bringing to Stoneleigh Bible Week about 10 years ago, the message of grace and renewal in the church. Because we found that up north, that was the message that the people of God needed to hear again. So we started the North Camp. Myself and my daughter started something called Going Bananas, which has become a bit of a thing amongst us. A big shout out to Sheffield and York Gateway and everybody else who's been involved in that over the years. So as you know, North Camp became devoted. And I think that as I was thinking about this, became a big part, a massive part of who we are. So if we're saying, well, where have we come from and who we are as Christ Central Churches in Yorkshire, that sort of together gathering has been a big part of who we are, growing from about 400 people in that first year to 2,000 plus a few years ago. And the other big thing as I've thought about this, if you say, well, how have we got to where we've got to? It's because we've planted churches. Now, yes, some churches have joined us, and that's been fantastic, joined their hearts with us. But we've planted churches. We've planted in York. We've planted in Leeds. We've planted in Harrogate and Huddersfield and Bradford and Halifax. In those north region days, Jeremy would come back from apostolic meetings. I think there was one time he came back, and he counted up that we were involved in more church plants than the rest of New Frontiers UK regions altogether. Not saying that as to put us on a pedestal, it's just acknowledging where we've come from and how we've got to this point. In those early days, we were involved in church plants in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Dundee, Perth, and Aberdeen. That came out of New Frontiers northeast region as we were back then. And then sphericalization came along in, I don't know when it was, it's distant memory. 2011, 2012, sphericalization, and we became Christ Central, and many of the churches in the north and the northeast became part of Christ Central with us. But I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Now, it's not been a bundle of fun all the time. Okay? I don't want to give that impression. But thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And, you know, we may look around and comparatively we may think that we're still pretty small and there's still a long way to go. But thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. So what about looking ahead? The guys asked me to look back. I've taken the liberty of pushing us forward as well, looking ahead. I've got the microphone, so just a couple of minutes. But really, I just want to reinforce really what I've said. We are who we are, and we've got to this point in part, a big part, by church planting. Planned, resourced, financed, organized, getting the right people with the right leaders, the right resources in the right place at the right time. But we haven't finished. Where are we today? It's great to be where we've got to today. But, you know, I think about the 250,000 people in Barnsley. It's not just that they haven't got a Christ Central Church, but it's not that easy to find what we would call an evangelical charismatic church for those 250,000 people, or for the 315,000 people in Wakefield, or for the 250,000 people in Rotherham, or for the 290,000 people in Doncaster, or the 314,000 people in East Yorkshire, or the 100,000 people in Scarborough, not to mention places like Ripon, Thirsk, Northallerton. I won't mention it, Adam, but anyway. You know, I want to see churches planted there where people can experience the grace of God. Now, the people of Barnsley, 225,000 people, I had the absolute thrill last night of being in a Christ Central prayer meeting for Barnsley in Barnsley, okay? And John and Heather Lampard, give us a wave. Give us a wave. I've moved up from Bedford to plant a church in Barnsley. And woo! We are they're fellowshipping with us. We're working out how we can best help them and support them. But my prayer is that we're all involved in that. They become part of this family, and we all help them and support to them in that. Be careful, I might prophesy over you about Barnsley, but anyway. Church planting, it's who we are, it's how we've got here, it's got to be involved in the future. Hey, we may plant churches and have to find ways of planting churches in different ways. We will. And there are lots of different ways to plant a church. You wouldn't plant a church in Ripon the same way you would in Barnsley, okay? But we've got to see that this is the way ahead, not just our history. We don't throw away all the great things that God has done and just run after something else. It may look different, but we need to see church planting. And just the second thing about the future, which I've touched on as well, we are who we are as a result of being together and being built up by apostolic gifts and apostolic ministry. That's how we've got to where we are today, by being together. The prophecy back in the day, who brought the, you can do more together than you can apart? John Groves. In the distant past, how far back are we going now? Mid-80s, prophesied in a New Frontiers meeting, you can do more together than you can apart. I mean, yes. Yes, we can. So therefore, we need to work at being together. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We gather together under apostolic ministry so that we can be built up. And that's what we've done. That's where we've been. That's where we've come from. And it may look different in the future. We may not go camping in fields, but we've got to find a way of still being together and allowing the apostolic gifts to build us up for works of service. of service, gathering together and being stirred up by apostolic ministry has always been a big part of who we are in the North, whether it was North Camp devoted prayer and fasting, regional gatherings like this, Thursday mornings, gatherings for staff and leaders. These things seems to me have been the engine room for who we are and what we've been doing together. It's at these events that we've been equipped for the works of service that God has for us. And it's been at these events that actually many of us have been called into that next step. So we need to find a way of making sure we can gather together, and we still gather together, and our people can gather together. Are these things going to be less important in the next 20 years? I don't think so. We might have to work harder, but they're not going to decrease in importance. The practicalities of being together and gathering together in large numbers, yeah, it's hard. Planting churches is hard. But that doesn't mean that we can't work these things through as works of service, equipped by the apostolic ministry, and do it together. So that at some meeting in the future, someone's going to go up to the microphone and shout, Doncaster. And some younger person than me is going to get that call of God and is going to plant a church in these places. We'll do it in different ways. But hey, we must do it. Started with Deuteronomy, finished back in Deuteronomy. The Lord gave this command to Joshua: be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. I think we need to be strong. This is the time we're coming into of being strong and courageous. It would be so easy to retreat back. There's been a bit of retreating back because of what's happened over the last 2 to 3 years. I feel this is a time to be strong and courageous, remember where we've come from, and seek the Lord for the way ahead. I've done.
Thanks so much, Steve, for just stirring us. We're not assuming what Jesus has ahead of us as local churches, as a Christ Central Yorkshire region. We want to, like, at this point go, Jesus, what are you calling us to? And we get a sense, obviously, it's going to be for his heart, for all those that don't yet know Jesus in Yorkshire. And there's something of a kind of indignation when I think the stats are still pretty true that it's like 0.4% in Yorkshire have a real relationship with Jesus. This is like Japan, and it's like that just fills me with excitement, because it's like, oh, there's a challenge here and God can do this. But actually there's a need for many disciples to be making disciples. And so there's an obvious call to pray. I think what we're going to do, we're going to come back again in a minute, but I think let's just get into groups and let's ask for Jesus's leading as we say, we've got L plates on, we're walking humbly, but Jesus, we want to take you at your word. And where we finished the worship time was really the verse in John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Do we believe Jesus? He's calling us to put our trust in him. And actually, it might be that you're not particularly feeling that I'm really ready for an adventure. You might be more in the, I feel a bit beaten up. And actually, we're aware that there's many in our church that are feeling beaten up. But actually, the issue is, of course, there's restoring and there's allowing Jesus to bring that restoration. But the point is, our focus is on Jesus and what he's calling us to.
I was just struck tonight, looking at the wall over to the side of this church. There's a plaque to soldiers fallen in the Great Wars, and I was just reminded in our time, it feels like we have emphasized the biblical image of church as family, and it's great, and it's loving, and it's welcoming, and it's open, and there's lots of, you know, it's cozy and it's nice. Everyone loves family, right? But I just struck again that an equally valid biblical image of church is army. And my sense is we need to rediscover what it means to be an army of God. And the things that mark armies out, successful armies are disciplined. Their soldiers are obedient to the commanding officer. And they sacrifice. They're willing to lay down their lives. And my sense is just God is saying, look, I want you to rediscover what it means to be an army. It's great to be a family. Don't lose that. But alongside that, remember that we are an army. We're called to be an army. We're called to be obedient. We're called to sacrifice. We are called. So Father, we just come before you, and we say, God, where we have become too cozy, where we've become too, we're overemphasizing family at the cost of the mission. God, we repent. We come before you and we say, God, we need to be sharpened again. We need to hear our marching orders from you. We need to hear the commanding officer saying, we want you to go here. But this is ground to be taken. This is an area to be won. These are lives to be redeemed. And so, God, we repent. We say we're sorry when we've settled for only half of the picture. And we say we want the fullness of what it means to be church. We want to be a church that is welcoming and family and where the lost can be found. But we also want to be obedient to our commanding officer. We want to go when you say go. And so we submit to you afresh tonight, God. Teach us again what it means to be the army of God. Thank you, God.
Tim was just sharing just then that at Gateway, an identical picture, prophetic word was brought. Was it on Tuesday or last week? Yeah, brilliant.
I just really want to come off the back of what Caleb shared. And obviously, if you've had that prophetic word as well, Tim, I think God really is speaking to us. And we'll pick some of this up. For those of you who are at our leadership event in 2 weeks' time, please do come. It's open to everybody, really. We say leaders, but it's everybody really can come if you're free. One of the things I feel God is speaking to us about is it's like we've moved out of something with this whole COVID situation, and we haven't yet moved into something. So we're kind of in this in-between phase. It's like we're in a kind of grey zone, and we've lost a bit of identity. We've lost a bit of who we are. In the desert, you just did what you were told. You just followed the instructions on the screen. It's like you got up in the morning, you gathered your manna, you checked to see if the cloud was moving. If it's not moving, fine. And most of the time it didn't. You stayed where you are, you cook your tea, you repeat. We've come out of the desert. Moses is dead. We've come out of the desert. We've got new leadership. And we haven't a clue what to do. It's like the waters have closed behind us because we've gone through the Jordan. We're consecrating ourselves because that's what they did. And before them now are these great walled cities with real enemies. In the desert, God did all the fighting. You know, Moses just had to lift up his arms a few times and send the musicians out. But now we've got to be the army of God. But it's not just like now, really screw yourself up, really like be, you know, come on, Joshua, be strong and courageous. That means just double effort. No, it doesn't. It means receive the strength of the Lord, because the Lord is going to meet you. The command of the Lord's host is going to meet us. And it's all about encounter with him. And when they listen to him and do exactly what he says, whether it's marching around a city, shouting, whatever, and exactly what he says, they have incredible success. When they don't, when they just go off in their own strength, or when there's sin in the camp, disaster happens. And I do feel we're in this in-between phase where God is reshaping us, Caleb. You're right. We're not going to lose any of the family value, but there's going to be something of the commander of the Lord's hosts appearing amongst us. There's something about Jesus and us encountering him, not as just furry, kind of cuddly, nice little friend and keeping a little pocket, but as the commander of the Lord's hosts. There's something powerful about Jesus coming to his people. And I'd like us to pray right now that not just tonight, but when you gather in your church on Sunday, when you gather in your prayer meetings, when you gather in your small groups, hey, yeah, when 200 or 300 of us gather in a couple of weeks' time in Darlington, but when we do our thing, when we wait on the Lord, something supernatural happens. We're not just going through the same old, pick up the manna, is the cloud moving, repeat. But actually, we're encountering the commander of the Lord's army. And Jesus is giving us very specific instructions. And therefore, he can say, go to Barnsley, and things open up in Barnsley. He can say, go to Rotherham, things open up in Rotherham. Why? Not just because we fancy a trip to Scarborough and things open up there, but because he says it. The commander of the Lord's host speaks. And I just want to pray now for God just to come on us as a people. There'll be a new commissioning on us. And for as we gather in our local churches, that God would show up powerfully. We've lost something of the presence of God, friends. We've lost something of the corporate gathering. The enemy's tried to rob us of it during the pandemic, but God's bringing it back. He's bringing the presence back. He's bringing the ark back. He's bringing his glory back into the church so that we might see him, hear him, and obey him. So, Lord Jesus, we gather to you tonight, the commander of the Lord's host. Not just some figurehead, not just some CEO, not just some head of the family, but as the King who comes with authority and power. And we pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd encounter us and we'd encounter you, the living God. I pray as we gather in our churches, in our prayer meetings, in our small groups, as we gather at the devoted leaders, I pray, Jesus, you'd show up in power. We say we don't want to live in this grey zone anymore. We don't want to live in this thing where we've come out of something, we're not sure where to go. Lead us in, Lord. Lead us into the promised land. I pray for towns and cities. Lord, you give us Scarborough. You give us Barnsley. You give us Rotherham. We'd see breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Why? Because you are King Jesus. Amen.
Just felt the Lord impress on me that one of the most dangerous things we could do this evening is go home having heard an encouraging message and prayed and tell people, some people over there are going to do some stuff about this. And the way here I was listening to a song, you might know it, and the words go, there's a yes in our hearts that carry through eternity. Simple obedience changes history. And I just want to invite each and every one of us, if you're able, do you want to rise to your feet for a moment? I feel like it's quite an important moment. I'm going to force you to do anything. This is you. But I just wonder, is there a yes in your heart this evening? And let me qualify that. I'm not doing hands up for Scarborough right now. Though if the Lord is speaking to you about it, put your hand up. But it's are you prepared? Are you prepared? Will you do what he asks you to do? Will you do what he asks you to do? Maybe it will be to pray diligently for Barnsley. Will you do it? Will you sacrifice the time? Maybe it will be to set aside a bit more of your income to give to church plants. Will you do it? Maybe for the leaders in the room, it's set aside a bigger chunk of the church budget for somewhere else. Get it back on the agenda, church planting. Maybe it is. You're prepared to say yes to praying, God, will you send me somewhere else? So just take a moment. Just take a moment. Is there a yes in your heart? And if there is, put it on your lips. Yes, God. You don't have to have all the answers, but the most dangerous thing you can do is leave this place having heard something encouraging, but not having engaged your yes. I think we're about to end. This is your moment. Soberly, faithfully, there's a yes in our hearts that carries through eternity. Simple obedience changes history. Yes, Lord.